doctors who hadn't been able to figure out quite what was wrong with Martin. We didn't know whether it was physical or emotional or psychiatric. All we knew is that something was wrong. But Martin's symptoms, it's as if they just disappeared when we moved. And I fell in love with my job, my coworkers, this church perimeter. However, over the holidays, Martin just seemed to be tired all the time. At first, I thought he was working too much between his grad school hours and the hours he was working at the coffee shop. He just seemed to be always tired. He'd start to fall asleep during Bible studies, during even at worship services where I was leading worship in front of my boss. And I remember the first time he fell asleep at a social event, and we were at someone's house and the host was telling a story, and I look over and Martin's asleep. One night we'd planned to have dinner together, and I am sitting at the restaurant waiting on him, and I finally call him, and I could tell he was just waking up. And he said, I just sat down on the couch and next thing I knew I was asleep. And this all was so different for Martin because he'd always been such a go-getter. He'd been an athlete in college, an honor student, and I really couldn't remember a time in his life that he hadn't really been a hard worker. But he was becoming someone that I didn't even recognize. So it was a few months later when I was attending a conference in St. Louis that I remember noticing a missed call from Martin. And I remember exactly where I was, sitting in a car with a couple of coworkers right outside of the Atlanta Bread Company. And I called him back and I heard those words for the very first time. He said, I have some news, I met with the doctor, and I have a brain tumor. It's pressing against my pituitary gland, which is why my hormones have been all messed up and it's why I've been so sleepy. And he almost, as he's telling me, he almost sounded nonchalant about it. I know it was a relief for him to finally have a diagnosis, but for me, the news just shook me, and I kept hearing over and over in my head, brain tumor. Over the next few weeks, we met with doctors and found out a little bit about the surgeries Martin needed, and in our minds, we had the fix that we needed, and we were gonna have the surgeries and get back to normal life as we knew it. But the truth was that our lives really would never be the same again. Walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. The older I get, the more I learn that the pursuit of truth is a lifelong endeavor. It could be a silly thing like the time you remember learning the truth about Santa Claus. I'll never forget overhearing my cousin Rick sharing with my other cousin this harsh reality and me being completely horrified as a six-year-old. Or it could be that large two-story house in that neighborhood where I grew up in Spartanburg, South Carolina, that my sister at some point in time had told me was actually the Biltmore house. And I'm a little embarrassed to think now how old I was when I realized that that wasn't true at all. It was just a large insurance agency with fancy white columns. But there's other things that we believe as we're growing up that really may not be true, but have greater consequences. Though I can't actually remember anyone ever teaching me this truth. But I think most of my life, I believe that if I follow Jesus and be the best Christian I can be, that God will somehow reward me with a pain-free life. In short, if I'm good to God, He will in turn be good to me. But the more life I get under my belt, the more I find that this simply isn't true. At first, as I realized this wasn't true, I couldn't help but maybe feel a little cheated. Wasn't this the moral of all these Bible stories I'd learned in Sunday school growing up? If you're good like Daniel, then you get saved from the lions. If you're brave like David, then you too can slay Goliath. Yet the closer I began to look at these heroes of the faith, the more I saw their flaws. And in the midst of so many highlights, these heroes had quite a few lowlights as well. Honestly, the most amazing truth that I kept uncovering was this phenomenon of God's goodness in spite of man's badness. Whether it was the constant care for the Israelites in the midst of their whining, or maybe God's grace shown to Peter after his adamant denial of even knowing Jesus, we see this pattern of God's faithfulness despite man's faithlessness.